your presence. That's where I want to be.
Open your Bibles, please, to Revelations chapter 2. This has been quite a week for us here. Life happened. We went to a wedding on Saturday and was told that one of our best friends from 40 years died. And then we had a funeral, and then we had a birthday party, all within 6 days. Am I missing anything? So, wow, a lot of tears, a lot of joy, a lot of tears, all mixed up. And I'm sure you're all going through the same thing. Life is happening. Revelations chapter 2, this is so important. This was written, it's to the seven churches. They were actual churches of that day, but the messages still apply to us today. And so we're going to look at this in Revelations chapter 2. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus was written, verse 2, I know thy works, and I know thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Now these are all really good things. And you know, and so this is one of the things he starts off this chapter with, or this church with. You've done all these great things, okay? You have had great patience. You've been working. You've been doing probably ministry for God. You've been finding out, and what we've been doing the last couple years is finding out doctrines. Is this a doctrine that's true or not? We've had to test things. Now, this has made me great friends. People from all over the world have loved this, and then people have also hated this. Because when you touch somebody's doctrine that they've based their whole life on, they have to challenge themselves, just like we've all had to challenge. We've had to challenge some of these apostles' teachings that we've heard. And people are fine with a lot of them. Some of them aren't, but with the New Apostolic Reformation. But with the Word of Faith, they don't realize that's also part of the New Apostolic Reformation, because we had new apostles that had special revelations. And we thought that those people were totally right on. And as we've studied some of this, we found out that this is nothing more than the latter rain rehashed under a different name. And even dominionism, this stuff is not new. And that's one thing. If we live long enough, we see cycles. And we have to challenge. But then on the other hand, we have to go further than that. You can't just get stuck. And this is why we have to preach the whole counsel of God. We can't just stay on one thing. We also have to keep moving. And it says here, so you've tried these, and you found them liars. But then it says, and has borne them and has patience and labor for my name's sake. You have labored and you have not fainted. You're still in there. You're still in the race. Nevertheless, and this is what we want to talk about today. Maybe you are discerning, but you're lacking something. Now, we want to make sure that we don't lack something, right? Because he's rebuking them. He's telling them all the great things that they've done, but there's something that they are missing. And he said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left your first love. We have to keep the Lord, no matter what we find out. In some of the doctrines we found out, some of the preachers we've had to set aside, we can't let that affect our first love. Now, we have to keep that fire burning for God. Keep seeking him. Keep him the first. Remember when you first got saved, how much you loved him. It says, There's a little formula he puts here. Remember, number one, remember therefore from which thou art fallen, and repent. Remember, repent, and then he says return. Those are the three. Remember how on fire for God you were before you got disappointed, before people hurt you, before you found out all leaders aren't perfect. We put these people on pedestals. And we all make mistakes. And none of us are ever above correction. And we have to keep learning. This is the main thing I've learned is, wow, I was so settled in some of my doctrines, and now I realize I have to regroup. But you forgive, you repent, you keep getting up again. And he said, so return to that first love. Remember whence you art fallen, and repent and do the first works. Or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. So we want to remember today where we've come from. We want to return, some of us. Some of us need to repent. We got to keep our hearts right. And we want to go into this. We can be discerning, but we can still be lacking some things. So we want to keep seeking Him. Now, I don't want you to be confused, but we've been talking about faith in the wrong things, faith in your own power, in your own self. And what happens is we get a little knowledge, and what does it do? It puffs us up. And then we stop drawing our personal relationship with Him. We live on a revelation. And then we quit going, we get knowledge, and then we quit seeking Him. He is the vine, we are the branches. We got to stay connected to Him. Because if we lose that connection, we lose our influence, we lose our fellowship with Him, we lose our love, and we lose our passionate love for one another. We can't muster up love when people hurt us. And the Bible says that when we love Him, we got to love Him, and then we have to love others. And we can't do that if we have left our first love, because then we're sitting in bitterness. And I've been talking to some people about people that are bitter. You can see the bitterness. And when you complain more than you praise, you become bitter. Life is hard. So we have to keep watching and guarding our heart. But I wanted to start with this story. Because we have to try things. If you don't try and test doctrines, your view of God is wrong. And this is what's hard, because you think God is one way and you make Him up into your own image. And then your view of yourself is wrong. And then your view of others is wrong. And the view of the devil is wrong. So that's why we have to make sure we have good doctrine and good teaching. And we have to try and test things. Is this teaching according to the Word? None of us are beyond correction. We're still all learning and growing, right? But this was a good story. Bill and Eileen, they were engaged, and he was sent off for 2 years to Ireland. Wouldn't that be hard to be engaged, and now he's gone for 2 years? And as the time went by, she started talking to him about how she was worried. She says, "Are you going to stay faithful? I hear there's some beautiful women over there." And he said, "Well, I have to admit I am tempted." But he goes, "Every day I just think about you." So he admits that he's tempted, but he keeps fighting. He kept saying, "I'm just fighting for us, you know." So she sent him a harmonica in the mail to keep his mind off the girls. And he responded, I'm practicing my harmonica every single night thinking of you." And so, you know, two years of practice, he should be pretty good, wouldn't you think? So now it's time for him to come home, and he's at the airport with all of his family, and he's running to hug her, and he wants to kiss her and hug her, and she goes, "Stop, I want to hear you play the harmonica." Because if he didn't know how to play the harmonica, guess what? He was lying to her. So she tested him, right? Well, we also have to test things out. You guys like that one? And God says, you know what? There's nothing wrong with testing out your apostles, see if they're true, if they're liars or not. He is not against us testing things. Being critical, judgmental, no, there's a line. There's a line of where we test things. We're not here to put preachers down, but what we believe is very important. I've already been crying. I'm going to cry again. Then I snort through the whole message. But a guy told me yesterday, he said, "I wouldn't be here today if it weren't for you. I wouldn't have been able to walk my daughter down the aisle." He had cancer, and when I was praying for him, I discerned it. Nobody had told him this, but the Lord showed me, and he wouldn't go to the doctor. He thought that just, you know, the power of His words and the power of that whole message, he thought that would have cured him. And I was like, "You have got to go." And he went to the mail finally, and they told him, "Good thing you showed up, because his PSA was worse than anything they've ever seen in the Mayo Clinic." Now, this is a worldwide clinic, and he was already turning green. But through the grace of God, he did go and got, but he was telling me that, and it just hit me. It's like, if we don't get the right doctrine, this can kill us. He said, "I'd be dead right now." And he was crying, then I started crying. I was like, wow. So it's so important that we test and try these things. These things are very, for some people, it's caused them to die young because they thought they were healed and they didn't tell anyone and they needed some treatment. You know what I'm saying? So, but There's such a balance in all this. I'm trying to get you the balance. But we have to try and test. But on the other hand, we also have to make sure we don't get stuck there. Now, we are all at different levels. And I wanted to say I'm sorry for a lot of you that are writing me, emailing me, you say I'm losing my friends because you're trying to walk in and away from some of these bad doctrines, and it leaves you in a state of transition. Who are my friends? Where am I going to go? And for you, I want to say we're all being a little persecuted, getting a little pushback. And on the other hand, you're making new friends. We have an online church. We'll tell you at the end how to get on it if you're going through this. But on the other hand, we have to love the Lord, first of all, and we have to love others, right? You do have to guard and protect yourself. But through all of this, there's a process of walking in maturity because we don't want to lose our first love. We can become backslidden in our hearts. And Israel, throughout the whole Testament, he says, you are all backsliders. They kept falling back away. They kept rejecting, neglecting God. And what happens when you backslide? You crowd God out. He used to be the first and most important thing in your life. He was your first love. You couldn't wait to talk to him. You couldn't wait to fellowship with other people. You were givers. Now, most of the people I deal with won't give nothing, won't go nowhere. They don't want to talk. They're angry. They're upset. They feel, you got to get past that. We got to keep pressing on and know that this is all part of our journey, right? And everyone's at a different level. Some people, before they break through to a new level, they're angry. They're upset. They're like, I was taught this and it was wrong. I don't trust anybody. Well, they didn't save you. Jesus saved you. You got to keep your heart in love with him, right? So sound doctrine enables us to have the correct view of God and of self and the church and the world and Satan. So, of course, the devil's going to try to change the Bible. And this is what we're finding out in new translations. Things are shifting. Things are changing. If you were the devil, wouldn't you want to change the Bible? Why? Because there's power in the word. We have to stand. Having done all to stand, we have to still have our faith is in him. It's not in ourself. It's in him. And so discernment is vital to know who the wolves are and the false teachers are. That's vital. We have to know that or you're going to be devoured in these end times. But don't stop there. Don't stop there because he said, you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from whence you are fallen and repent and do the first works. So today I'm calling everyone back to your first works, your first love. What you did when you were on fire for God. You wanted to give. You wanted to love. I always wanted to bless people and help people. And I don't ever want to lose that desire of helping people. Yes, I've been burned. Yes, people have treated me wrong, but I'm not going to stop serving God and obeying him. And that's got to be our goal is, Lord, I want to do what pleases you. Because if you get your focus on pleasing man, first of all, they're never happy. You can never do enough for them. They're not grateful. They're not thankful. But you do it as unto the Lord. You keep doing everything that would please him. Jesus said, I don't do anything unless it pleases the Father, right? So that's our goal. My first love is to please you. I want to return to the first works. What did I used to do? I wanted to serve you, Lord. I wanted to do whatever you wanted me to do. The older we get, we cross stuff off. I'll never do that again. I'll never do that again. Can't trust people. Can't trust preachers. We can get sour. We can get a bad heart. And God says we got to guard our heart with all diligence. You got to guard it. You don't guard things that are not important. You don't go out and guard your trash can. On Fridays, we have trash delivery. We don't stand out there and don't even touch my grass. We don't guard stuff like that. But you got to guard your heart. You got to watch over your heart. Am I in jealousy that someone's blessed more than me? Am I getting bitter? Am I getting sarcastic? Sarcastic, people are sarcastic. They think it's funny, but they're always putting someone else down as they get the joke. They get the laugh. That's not good to use other people as a joke. You know what I'm saying? So you got to guard your heart with all diligence because out of that flows the issues of life. And we got to let the love of God flow through us. We can't stop that flow of love because when we get proud, guess what? We put a wall up. That defense comes up, we get proud, and we're done with that person. Aren't you glad God doesn't do that to us? He's just done with you because you're so flaky? How many times would God be done with us? Over and over and over again. So anyway, we have to have discernment. It's very vital to know who the wolves and all those things are. But on the other hand, you can't stop there. You got to keep pressing in. You got to keep your love walk. You got to keep connecting to him. And this is the problem. It's possible to know who the wolves are. It's possible to know who the false teachers are. It's possible to know, and we need to know that. He gave them some kudos for doing that. He said that was a good thing. But yet, what did they do? Through all of this, you can neglect the shepherd. Through all of our discerning and through all of the other things, we cannot neglect the good shepherd. Right? Identify bad doctrine, but yet we fail to be a good husband. We fail to be a good wife. We fail to be a good friend. We can know all these things and get a lot of knowledge, but guess what? Knowledge alone, what does it do? It puffs you up. And this weekend I was with some people and I was like, wow, they are really puffed up. They think they're better than other people. You can see it on them. There's a spirit of arrogance on them because they think that they're in a better church than you are. They think they have whatever, a better job than you are. Whatever it is, they just put them, there's a spirit of pride. God doesn't want that. He resists pride. He hates pride. And we have to learn to hate that in ourselves. And that's the first thing you're going to see show up when people are not walking with the good shepherd. There's a spirit of pride. When you're walking with the Lord, there is a spirit of humility because you're connected to him and you're ever learning. You're wanting to see where people are at. You don't throw them out. Now, if people reject you, that's a different matter. As a minister, I've been, if they love God, they love you. If they're mad at God, they don't want to talk to you. I mean, you are a representative of him. There's more rejection on ministers than you could ever imagine, because people are all at different places. Either they will honor you or they will reject you. And you've got to deal with that. And we have to deal with that in the family. People are going to love you or they're going to, you leave their church, they'll never talk to you again. And we're all family. And we got to get over some of this. We just got to say, I love you in spite of, right? So we can identify the bad doctrine, but yet fail to practice the good. We can discern errors of false teaching and yet fail to serve the Lord obediently. What does God want you to do? Some of you have totally stopped giving and serving. I've never stopped. I said, I'm going to serve you, Lord. A lot of people said, I'm never given another dime, these prosperity preachers. They were wrong. But for us to go on the other ditch and to be wrong is also wrong too. We have to stay in the balance. We have to have discernment, mark and avoid, and still be useful for the Lord. All teachings have to be tested by the word, of course. This was not a congregation that fell for various winds of doctrines. They were doctrinally sound, and they were very discerning. But yet the Lord rebuked them, and he was going to remove their candlestick. Why? You can have all this knowledge, but if you don't still walk with the Lord, what good is it? Because then you end up in a ditch, puffed up with knowledge, arrogant, proud, and God saying, I'm going to, you know, what is salt without, if it's lost its savor? It's not good for anything. So they were rebuked by the Lord for leaving, turning their backs on the Lord. They were commended for not wilting under trials. They stayed there. They probably still stayed at their church. They did all this work. But we can do all the work of ministry and neglect the Lord of Lords and the King. We can get busy, but you can forget him. They left their first love. They abandoned the love they had for God, and they abandoned their love for each other. When you're on fire for the Lord and you love him, his love flows through you. And sometimes people just need to see they're loved. And when people sin, you know, a lot of times church people kill their own wounded. That's really when you need to reach down sometime and just love them with the love of the Lord. Because you know what? If it weren't for the grace of God, so would you be. So would I be. None of us are here because we haven't failed. We've all failed, but we've just got back up in his arms one more time. And if you're out there backslidden today, I want to say, get back up. Get back up into his arms one more time. Amen. In 1 John 4:20, I'm just going to go through a couple of scriptures fast. If we say we love God, but we hate our brother, we are a liar. Ephesians 1:15, Paul heard of their faith in the Lord and what? And their love unto all the saints. When we go to funerals, I see such love. I see people that haven't talked for 30 years loving. Why can't we? Why does it always take a funeral to make people get over their hurts and their wounds? In Matthew 22:37, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And then love thy neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. We were motivated by love, love for God, love for our fellow believers, and love for the lost. When you first got saved, I don't know about you, but I wrote a letter to every one of my family members. I forgot about it, but they tell me. Connie always tells me, she goes, you wrote these long page letters. It was so intense. She calls me Bert. It was so intense, Bert. I'd read it and I'd put it in my drawer. And when I had the guts, I'd take it out again and read it again. But she got saved. And my brother got saved. A lot of people got saved in that time because I knew I came out of darkness and I wanted them to have. We got to have that passion again for the lost, because this life, we are pilgrims just passing through and we're going to eternity, and we want to make sure that we don't lose. We can get so caught up in being mad at people that we lose our love for the lost, and we don't want that. When this love is abandoned, we're not connected anymore. We're not in fellowship with the Lord. When we sin, we block his, you know, we just kind of block him out. We do our own thing. We justify our sins. Well, you know, my heart's telling me to do this. Well, apart from God, our hearts are wicked. We can talk ourselves into doing things and think it's right. Have you ever done that? And then you come back, you're like, oh, that was so off. We've all done that. So we have to make sure our hearts haven't backslidden. So first of all, the solution is remember, repent. What do? We repent, confess this loss of love as a sin. Now, when you first met your mate, think about it. You wanted to talk to him all the time. You wanted to come and see him. You wanted to buy gifts. Your attention and your focus was there. Well, that's the same with the Lord. He wants us, our attention and our focus, to be there. Seek ye first him, the kingdom of God, and all these other things, they'll be added. He'll take care of us. But don't put those things before him. Don't put the blessings before him. We get blessed by children. What do? We put the children ahead of him. He gave us those kids not to put as an idol before him, not to serve that husband more than him. But you can't even serve each other unless you're connected to him first. Because then as you can forgive in marriage, you got to constantly forgive. It's a constant forgiveness because you're two people doing things different. You don't think the same. You don't talk alike. You don't even like some of the same things. So you got to stay connected to him. So a lot of this stuff, just, you know what? It's not worth it. Just, you know, move on. So remember, repent, and then return. Or what happens? Your influence and your testimony will be lost. Your influence and your testimony will be lost. Now, I shared this before with you about the crocodile hunter, Steve Irwin from Australia. He was a fearless animal expert, and he died at 44 years of age, shooting a nature documentary. They found a massive 8-foot-wide stingray, and they just were going to, you know, take pictures of it and make it very, normally they're very calm, but for some reason, the stingray thought that Irwin was a predator, propped up on its front and started stabbing wildly with its tail, and he killed him. He stabbed him in his heart, and he had a heart attack. He didn't protect his heart because he didn't think he needed to. He thought this was a totally fine filming. Nothing's going to happen. But something triggered that stingray, and he died because he didn't guard his heart. And think of us. We have to guard our hearts. We have to guard our hearts from pride. I think spiritual pride is the big one, because when you get a little knowledge, you start working out of that knowledge, and rather than going back to the Lord to stay in union, we think, well, I know that now. And we get back into self-confidence. We become confident in ourselves. And this is what we have to do. We have to guard against backsliding. Now, humility, when we're walking in humility, the Lord loves humility, and he resists pride. So think of God as humble and the devil as pride. And when we're walking with our self and our uncrucified flesh, we're walking in that spirit of pride of the world and of the enemy. Now, humility, it's very, very sensitive to sin, and it calls sin the same thing God calls it. God calls it pride. God calls it self-pity. I'm in self-pity. I need to repent. I'm feeling sorry for myself. I do all these things for people, and nobody ever takes care of me, and I didn't. It's my birthday, and nobody takes. Have we ever been in those pity parties? Say, I'm in self-pity. I repent, Lord. And what do? You start being thankful. I thank you, Lord, you meet my needs. Lord, you know what I need. You send the right people in my life at exactly the right time. Something happens when you're thankful. You can see the Lord. You can see him working. You can see him. You can see people. But when you get into pride and you get into jealousy and bitterness, you can't see God working anymore. All you see is the enemy. You see the devil. All you see is darkness. It's like, you know, you're hidden. You can't see the Lord anymore. You become, when you're in humility, you become an owner. I own this reaction. This person did this, but my reaction was wrong. They pushed my button. They did it, but my reaction, God's looking at our reaction. My reaction is wrong. So when you own your own reaction, you're growing. But when you blame your reaction on other people, guess what? You're in pride. So humility, you grow. Growth begins where blaming ends. Reactions are my responsibility. When you're walking in humility, it hides your excuses, nothing. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule your hearts. That referee is peace. I like peace. Now, pride covers up. We cover up. And I can tell when you're telling somebody something and all of a sudden they have a wall up, they're self-protecting. You know, when you get free, you can put that wall down just so, you know, God protects me. I don't really have to protect myself. I'm free from the spirit of pride. Even when someone tries to correct you, if you get really defensive, it's pride. Why can't we just say, you're right, I blew it. Well, you never see the good I do. You know, we always have these fleshly comebacks. But pride covers up what we have done and it makes an excuse. Excuses, the reason why we are not responsible. It shifts the blame. Because when you blame other people, you don't own anything. It's all their fault. Now, when you're in pride, we get to, and I say we, because we are all growing, right? It gets defensive. Your barriers are up. You guard, you protect in the wrong kind of way. You secure from attack, or you just attack them. When you get in pride, you become unteachable. This is the thing, when you start exposing people's doctrines and they don't want to hear it, they get unteachable. I have learned you can't ever stop learning. We have to continually search out a matter and see if it's so. Test and try. Are they playing the harmonica? Are they telling the truth? The biggest hindrance from loving other people and knowing God is pride. And God says what? I resist the pride. And then what always happens? Strife. It's amazing if two humble people go through something, they always stay friends. Have you had friends for 40 years, 30 years? Some you just, because you both stayed humble or you said, I'm sorry, whatever. I have a son that's very easygoing and he had Tyrone and AJ, I'll just say their names. Since they were little, they've been friends since birth. And they had one fight in their life because they're both laid back. I was driving them to church that night and they both were apologizing. It was my fault. I shouldn't have said that. Oh no, that was my fault. And I just thought if everybody would be like these two and they're the best of friends, but they refused. They had one fight and it was over a shirt. I think it was a shirt and someone commented they didn't like that shirt and the other one got offended. And then they both apologized and it was just a little, you know, but they were both humble and easygoing and I just thought that was so cute. It left an impact on my life even though that was many, many years ago. But when we get in pride, we get in strife. We don't care who we lose as friends. And then we get alienated from people. We need to discern, test, and warn. We do. We need to discern, we need to test, and we need to warn. But we are to be motivated by love for Christ and those that are caught up in deception. We have to pray for them, and we have to pray just so when we were in deception, You know, we want to keep the door open. And sometimes you give too much to people that aren't ready for it. Sometimes you can only just give a little bit. They're not ready to know certain things. And so we have to ask the Lord, because we're connected to Him, Lord, how much should I share with them? How much can they handle? Now, some people have no desire to come out of deception, but we still love those people, right? Because God does. Or what happens? We will be found wanting. We will be found wanting. Again, knowledge puffs up. Knowledge gets into pride. And we're going to look at a story here in 2 Chronicles. King Uzziah, I love this. He got self-confident. He stopped drawing his strength from the Lord. He got stuck. And he started growing and learning, but then something happened to him. And we don't want this to happen to us. I don't know if you've ever backslidden in your life, but it's not fun. Because you don't just turn your back on God and do the things you used to do and think, okay, I'm done backsliding now. You're not going to just step back into where you were. You have dropped. You have fallen. Sometimes you got to start over. And you've hurt people. When you backslide and you do stuff you shouldn't have done, you've broken relationships. So sometimes you've got to remember, repent, and return. So here in 2 Chronicles 26, I'm just going to jump around a little bit, but read the whole thing. When Uzziah was 16 years old, he began to reign. Think about that. 16 years old. That's a young age. And he was king. And this is a thing. Sometimes when people are young and they're given a lot of stuff really fast, they can get into self-confidence and thinking, I'm pretty something here. Then when he did what was right in the Lord blessed him. As long as he sought the Lord, in verse 5, God made him to prosper. He was blessed. And then it says God helped him and against the enemies and all the things here that he got, armies. I'm not going to go into that. All the things he built. Uzziah and his name spread abroad, even to entering into Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. Now, look at that word, strengthened himself. Now in verse 15, it says, "All that his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong." Now, we can be strong in the Lord, but God doesn't want us to be strong in ourselves. And this is a whole thing I've been trying to teach about the faith message, having faith in your faith. We are not to have faith in ourselves. We are to have faith in God. And this is that whole metaphysical science, which a lot of people, you are not going to get this, some of you stubborn people, until you study it yourself on what metaphysical science, the law of attraction, is. And it is definitely New Age, but it's also having faith in yourself. We never stop having faith in God. This friend that we had a funeral, he had ALS, but he never lost his faith. Even though he didn't see the promise, he died in faith, trusting for the promise of eternal life. Now he has a new body, but he didn't stop believing. They said he never complained. When he would fall with ALS, you lose your feet, you lose your balance, you lose, you know, you can't feel. And he fell one last time, and he never got back up. He woke up in the hospital and he died. But he never stopped believing in God. Even though his body wasn't healed, he still trusted in God. Go through Hebrews 11. A lot of these people were tortured. They didn't get their promise, but they still were in faith. Faith is trusting in Him, even though the outward circumstances don't look good. Sometimes they're not what we want. We never give up faith in Him, right? He's the author. He's the finisher of your faith. Sometimes things aren't going to happen the way we want. We trust Him that all things are going to work out. We trust Him He's going to provide for us. We never lose our faith. And that comes with loving Him. And then how do you get faith? Read His word. Faith comes by hearing. You read what He says, and all of a sudden you trust that. You trust in Him. So His name got spread abroad. He was helped marvelously by the Lord, till he got strong in himself. Now here's where pride comes in. Remember, God resists us when we start thinking we're all that. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. And then what happens? He starts operating in an office that he wasn't supposed to. When we start getting proud in ourselves, we go too far. We get abusive. We start controlling. We do things, we're not seeking the Lord, we're not submitted to him, and then bad things happen. What did he do? He started to think he was a priest, he could go and offer incense. And what happened? These other priests came in and they started telling him, you aren't supposed to be in here. This is our... And he got mad at the priest for trying to tell him who he... He got pretty puffed up. Don't try to tell me. He forgot he was under the lordship. Who was his boss? He intruded into an office that wasn't his. And what did he get? He got leprosy for the rest of his life. Pride is a form of leprosy because we stop depending on God and we think we have all the answers. That's why prayer is so important. We seek him. We never stop seeking. And as we seek him, we walk in the fear of the Lord, walking in that healthy presence, the fear of the Lord. It keeps us in balance. Pride is a killer. It kills our walk with God. It kills our friendships. God's blessing can result, but if pride, we lose it. We lose so much when we get over into that spirit of pride. God blesses the humble, but he resists the proud. In Proverbs 14:14, it says, the backslider shall be filled with his own ways. So what's happening there? He's telling them, your discernment is great. You've tested things. You're hanging in there in trials. But guess what? You've turned your back on me. You're not walking with me anymore. You're walking with yourself and your own knowledge. You're thinking your faith is going to carry you through in yourself. No, it's our faith in him. Like this one guy said, I would have died. He was having faith in what he did. And the Lord was telling him, you need to go and take care of yourself. And he was just like, no, I can handle this myself. And he was in pride. And he said, if you wouldn't have corrected me, I'd be dead today and wouldn't be able to walk my daughter down the aisle. That hit me. I was like, we have to stay so balanced to one another and to the Lord. You know, we just have to stay in that place because everyone's at different places. But we become filled with our own ways. We're not seeking God anymore. We're going to tell God what to do. We start bossing God around. We get that arrogant spirit rather than being humble and seeking him and walking in that divine flow of love to each other. We walk in our own plans, our own journey, our own path. And we do what happens when you backslide. You crowd him out. Now all of a sudden, when you're first on fire for God, you just want to go to church, you want to fellowship, you want to be around believers, you want to serve him, you want to give. And then we got hurt because we're dealing with real people, and we backed off, and we backslid. Some people were saying, I'm free, I don't have to go to church, I don't like Christians. Well, guess what? They're under construction. We're all under construction, right? None of us God's not through with. But if you stay proud, you won't grow. You won't learn your lessons and not have to repeat them. So when you are a backslider, you crowd God out, and now your days, you don't even have time for them. You don't think about them. Oh, maybe here. Come back to that first love. When you were passionately in love, you couldn't wait to read the Bible. You couldn't wait to read. Spiritual decay is a gradual process. Doesn't happen overnight. You just don't say, I'm going to go jump off a cliff. You slide. That's why it's called backsliding. You turn your back and you slide. You slide down. And you forget him. You forget the Lord. You just forget him. You start doing everything you want to do. Now you've got a good job. You've got good kids. You've got family. Now all of a sudden you're too busy with your family and with your kids for the Lord. Spiritual decay. Serving two masters. You put your hand to the plow and you turn back. It's like a dog returning to its own vomit. Backsliding. Jeremiah 2:19. Your own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. God uses when we backslide, we learn lessons. It's called consequences. We've all had consequences like, oh, I don't like this consequence. But God says whom he loves, he chastens. And the longer you're out of fellowship with God, the more chastening is going to come. If you truly know God and you backslide, he wants you back. But you're going to have some consequences. You're growing cold. You have a loss of an appetite. When people are sick, they don't want to eat. People dying, they don't want to eat. People that are backslidden don't want spiritual food. Then you lose your rewards. When you're serving God, even out of a pure heart, but you know, we're not doing everything right, but we're doing the best we can. God gives you rewards. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. If your heart is for heaven and eternity and for God's people, and you're doing everything you can to help people, you get rewards. You get rewards on earth, but a lot of them I don't think we're going to get till we get in heaven. But when you backslide, you're losing your rewards. You're losing. When you stop giving, when you stop loving, when you stop serving, you're losing things. You think you're protecting yourself, but you're losing things. You're losing fellowship. When you happen to backslide, God gets replaced. What do you love now? Your first love was Him. Now He's been replaced. Maybe by a husband, maybe by a wife, maybe by working for the Lord. You're amazed at how many people are working for the Lord in churches that are backslidden. They no longer serve Him. They're just off serving a man, but they aren't in connection with Him. They're going back. They're not pressing forward. They're spiritually barren and they're floating. They're in a rocky place. They have no appetite to grow. And what happens when you're backslide? You're living out of a past revelation and not a firsthand relationship. No preacher can give you your relationship with God. They should be confirming things that God's showing you, but they are never to replace Him. And that's why when you hit certain doctrines, I've went through this myself. I don't want to touch this guy. Oh no, he was. And then I went through his visions and I finally had to do it after 4 years. You have no idea how hard it's been for me to expose some of these doctrines. And I knew I'd get persecuted, but I knew somebody has to do this. Somebody's got to do it because people are falling into ditches and they're backsliding and they're being taught things that aren't scriptural, and we're learning more all the time. But it's hard. It's hard to obey God sometimes, but He rewards you. Sometimes I think this is the last message I'll ever preach. Months upon months, we don't hear from anybody. Nobody gives, you know. And I was like, okay, I guess we're done. And then all of a sudden, something will happen. It's like, oh my gosh, we got an email. Oh, we got an offering. We get so excited. We're like, oh, you have no idea, because we're going kind of in a narrow path. We're saying, hey, be careful, watch out. We're in a spirit of spiritual barrenness and it's famine in the land, and that's not the true gospel. And we're all being corrected at all times. Hosea 11:7, God told Hosea, my people are bent to backsliding from me, turning their backs and withdrawing from me. Hosea 11:7, the Lord said, I blessed them until they were full, and then they turned their backs on me. Have you ever had someone turn their back on you? You blessed them? Some of the people you've helped the most, once they get what they want, they don't need you anymore. We've all been through that. But you know what? I'm not going to stop serving and loving people. God doesn't either. That's part of being a real believer. When they backslide, they're going to turn their backs on you. And don't take it personal. It's between them and God. You just happen to be in their relationship, and sometimes they just are crowding God out. Now they just, I know I've seen more people, once they have children, they don't have time to, this is it. And they don't realize you still need fellowship. You still need to put God first. You still need people to, iron sharpens iron. God didn't create you to walk alone. Anyway, they served the Lord till they were full. Then they turned their backs on me. In the Hebrew, it means put them out of their mind. They're blessed now. They have what they wanted. They wanted their blessing. They got their blessing. And now they don't need God anymore. They ignore Him. They reject Him. We have to have a pure conscience. When God starts convicting us, that was harsh. That tone of your words. We are always adjusting. We're always growing. We're always thinking, I could have said that better. I want to do this better. I want to be a better friend. Okay, they upset me. This person hurt me, but I'm still going to reach out. It's a choice to get bitter or to get better. And it's always us. Sometimes you have to be the bigger person to keep reaching out. So in the Hebrew, it means put When you backslide, you put God out of your mind, you ignore him, and you actually reject him. You don't want to be convicted anymore. You want to do your own sin. You want to go back to what you used to do. And when God tries to convict you, I don't want to hear that. And I don't want to be around anybody that's going to tell me. So people backslide against you because you represent him. People get caught up in the work of the ministry and they neglect ministering to him. That's why I love worship so much, because it puts your focus on him. A lot of the songs are about how great I am, I can do. It puts the focus on you. In worship, we're supposed to put our focus on him. And when we all put our focus on him, something happens in a congregation. There's unity. Because we're not talking about ourselves, how great I am, I can do this, I can do that. I mean, those are some praise things sometimes that it's good to, you know, encourage ourselves. But real church is to focus on him. Real worship, he is the subject. We are worshiping him. I'm getting ready to close here. Our first love is a quality of love that seeks to please God in everything we do. The thoughts we think, the words we speak, the deeds we do, how we love his children. In everything we do. I don't want to hurt people on purpose because I'm hurting God's people. We all hurt people and we don't even know we hurt people. But Jesus said, I always do the things that please the Father. In the church in Revelation 2, they had some great qualities. It's like having a wedding ring and you've got all the prongs in place. You have strong, you know, you've went through tribulation. You know how to discern a false prophet. You've got all these things and boy, you've got this great big prong, but there's no stone. There's no stone. You forgot the stone. He is the stone. That's why we're here, is because of him. We can't get so focused on wolves or the devil or all this other stuff. And I know most people don't, but, you know, sometimes when you bring a correction, they just, people lose it, you know, because they don't know how to handle transition and balance, or they don't know how to handle, oh, that was the doctrine I've always believed. We're all learning. We're all growing. Don't forget the center stone. He is the reason, right? What happens when we do lose that center stone? It shows up in your relationships, shows up in your work, shows up in your marriage. Everything happens because he's no longer the focus. It's all about the prongs. Return, you backsliding Christian and children, and I will heal your backslidings. Jeremiah 3:22. Return, you backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Watch, be sober, take heed, beware, hold fast. Hold fast to him. Keep having your faith in him. What does God require of the backslider? Who desires to return? How do we do it? Acknowledge thine iniquity. Lord, I've been cold-hearted. Lord, I've been bitter. People have hurt me in the church. Pastors have let me down. You know, we could go on and on and on with the excuses, but guess what? We got to get back to the center stone. Serve the shepherd. Serve him. Do things to please him. He said to change your ways in Isaiah 1:16. Return to me, and what does he say? I will return to you. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. When we lose our joy, sometimes we're not connected. We can go through terrible things and still have joy. And again, a testimony of this friend that just died, they said he never complained. He was in a wheelchair and he fell all the time. He didn't complain because he was connected. He was connected. We have to stay connected to him. Seek him first. Seek to please him first in everything we do. And if you're a preacher, you're going to have to expose wolves. Because God said if you're a shepherd, this is part of the job. You have to expose them. If you don't expose wolves, you'll end up inviting them to your church to preach. Because they're the latest and the greatest and the hottest. But if you're a real shepherd, you'll say, you know what? This looks like it could invite a lot of people, but it's not pleasing to God because they're going to merchandise the people of God. And as a pastor and leader, I have to protect that. It's not going to make some people happy, but guess what? God is pleased. So we have to get back to pleasing Him. Amen?
Amen.
So what do? We have to keep our heart, guard it. Your heart is very valuable. You don't guard worthless things. Your heart, your mind, your eyes, your ears are the most valuable things you have. Guard them. When I start feeling myself getting bitter at somebody, I have to take that. And trust me, it's a temptation to all of us. I just soon cut that person off my life and never talk to him again. That's easy sometimes, but sometimes you got to press through that. Sometimes you have to separate for a season for your own spiritual health, right? But you got to make sure your heart's right. You got to make sure your heart's right. So, Father, we thank you. Keep us all on the straight and narrow. We want to discern these apostles that are false. We want to discern some of these doctrines that are off. But all, those are just prongs. We want to keep you as the center stone. And everyone said?
Amen.
Are you guys okay?
Yeah.
Kind of quiet.
We just want to thank our YouTube audience. We are so glad that you're here. And we just don't take it lightly that you've taken your time to visit us weekly and to watch our YouTube ministry. And we just want to introduce ourselves. We're just a small remnant church. We're a group of believers who wants to follow the true Jesus and the true gospel. And we thank you that you're here doing that with us. Our online church is really a group of people that does life together. And if you consider this your church, we want to do life with you too. So we're inviting you to join us on our private Facebook group. You can search for us on Facebook. It's LIHPC Online Church Fellowship. Please go there and request to become a member, and we would be happy to connect with you online. We would also really love it if you'd want to continue to follow us, if you'd click subscribe and make sure you ring the bell, and that way you'll get notifications every week. And please share this YouTube on your social media so that other people can learn more about the truth as well. Lastly, if you would like to financially support our ministry, if you consider us a part of your church experience and you would like to donate, you can do that by visiting our website, livinginhispresence.org, and just click give at the top. We thank you, and again, we don't take it lightly. We really appreciate you. Thank you.